Everlasting God, we thank you so much because you are a wonderful God. Thank you because of your love. Thank you because of Jesus that gave us access into the throne of grace. Father, we've come this morning. We thank you for everything you have done for us. We just come to appreciate you. We just come to say you are good God. Father, we thank you for your love. In spite of all our troubles and circumstances and challenges in life, you are there for us. We are grateful. Daddy, we are grateful. We give you praises, Lord. Father, as we go into your word this morning, we pray that in the mighty name of Jesus, you will speak to every one of us in Jesus' name. The particular word that you have for us, you will give to us in Jesus' name. Your children, they sang last. They said, just a single look can make a difference. Father, I pray that a single word will touch somebody's life today. And we make a permanent change in Jesus' name. Amen. Father, we thank you. We bless your name. In Jesus' wonderful name, we have prayed. Amen. In Jesus' wonderful name, we have prayed. Amen. Thank you, choir. God bless you. I may still need you along the line. We want to give praises to God for giving us these days again. This is the second to the last Sunday in the year 2019. God has been faithful. God has been so good. God has been so wonderful. We've heard so many stories. We've seen so many things. And there are many challenges in our lives, in the lives of our loved ones. But God has been faithful. God has been great. God has been good. And we can only say thank you to him. By the grace of God, we've read from the book of Ephesians chapter 1 from verses 1 to 14 this morning. Ephesians 1, 1 to 14, NIV, will be the simple, it seems the KJV sometimes is difficult for some people. So we will be using NIV this morning. And I will be talking about the topic for today's message will be a life of fullness through Christ Jesus. A life of fullness through Jesus Christ. A life of fullness through Jesus Christ. That is the topic we'll be looking at this morning. God has been ministering to me for so many months about this particular topic. And I realize that as a Christian, there are many things that God has done for us, which we are unable to tap into. We talk about demonic possessed this morning. Sometimes it is not demon that is running after us. It is we that we don't know what God has done for us. It is we that we don't know our inheritance in Christ Jesus. It is we that fail to understand what God has done for us before the foundation of the world. And I believe if as a Christian we understand what God has done for us, we'll be more effective. We'll be able to do the things that God said belong to us. We read today in the book of Mark chapter 16 verse 17. One of the scriptures that we read in the Sunday school says, and these signs shall follow they that believe in me. That is the word of God. In my name, they will cast out demons. In my name, they will raise the dead. That is the plan, that is the purpose of God for us. Those are the things, those are the power that God has given to us. But many a times, we don't know, we don't realize it. Many a times, we debate and we begin to talk on things that are not necessary because we don't know the plans and the purpose of God for our lives. We begin to debate on things that we not had value to our lives. A life of fullness through Christ Jesus. A life of fullness through Christ Jesus. Sometimes we suffer because we fail to understand what God has given to us. Sometimes we put ourselves under the bondage of the enemy because we fail to understand and appropriate what God said belong to us. The book of Ephesians is one of the wonderful books we can think of in the Bible that gave us, that gave the Christian an exposition of what God has got or has given us as a believer. And I just want to go through the book of Ephesians a little bit this morning. And I've written here, the book of Ephesians is one of the many books in the Bible where Apostle Paul was trying to explain to Christians what God has done for us and what we have and receive as a result of the death and the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. And Apostle Paul was trying to explain to the Ephesian Christian what God has done for them. What God has done for them, the death of Christ Jesus, what it means to them. And I believe it is always important to understand the context in which some of these things are written. I'm not the type of preacher that will just take a verse in the Bible and begin to digest it. Yes, there are times for that, but it is always good for us to understand the context upon which some of these scriptures are written. Because if we don't have a deep understanding of the background of these books, it will be difficult for us to understand what the Bible is saying. So, the book of Ephesians was written to the Christian in Ephesus. And the details of when and how Christianity came to the city of Ephesus is all details in the book of Acts chapter 18, Acts chapter 19, and Acts chapter 20. If you get home, find time to read Acts 18, Acts 19, and Acts 20. You will understand a lot of things about about the city of Ephesus. Ephesus was the fifth city of Roman province of Asia, in Western Asia Minor. It was one of the city, a prominent city at that time. And Paul believed that if Christianity was established in Ephesus, it would spread throughout the province of Asia. And so he was there to preach the gospel, to establish the church in that city. One other thing that was said in that city was, it was also reported that the city of Ephesus was a center for some of the pagan religions of the region. Acts 19:35, please. Acts 19:35. I'm giving you this background so that you will understand how Paul and why Paul was saying some of the things that he mentioned to the Ephesians, why he was saying those things. Acts 19:35. He said, the city clerk quieted the crowd and said, "Men of Ephesus, doesn't all the world know that the city of Ephesus is the guardian of the temple of the great Artemis and of her image which fell from heaven?" So this city was a pagan city. The city of Ephesus was a pagan city. And you imagine people got born again in this type of environment. Many of us, where we come from, we are from a pagan family, a pagan home, a pagan parent. We gave our life to Christ. Sometimes it was difficult. When you see people that came from background where the parents, they don't know God, you see how difficult it will be for them even to grow as Christians. Persecutions and a lot of things. When they are worshiping their idols and you say you are not going to worship with them, it's going to be trouble for you. Those of us who are from villages where what they worship there is idols, we know what it means. And we understand the context of this scripture. So, the city of Ephesus was the center of pagan religion. And this demonstrated to us that the Christian comfort came from a society where superstition and false religions, ideas were widespread in that city. And we can get this thing from Acts chapter 19, from verse 18 to 19, time will not permit us. Acts 19, 18 to 19. Acts 19, 24 to 27. Maybe we can just read that one. Acts 19, 24 to 27. Acts 19, 24 to 27. Let's just leave this one. Let's go to the next one. Acts 19, 24 to 27. We understand better what Paul was trying to say. Is silversmith named Demetrius, who made silver shrines of Artemis, brought in no little business for the craftsmen. Verse 25. He called them together along with the workmen in related trades and said, "Men, you know we receive a good income from this business. And you see and hear how this fellow, Paul, has convinced and led astray large members of people here in Ephesus and in practically the whole province of Asia. He says that man-made God are no God at all." And verse 27. "There is danger not only that our trade will lose its good name, but also that the temple of the great goddess Artemis will be discredited, and the goddess herself, who is worshipped throughout the province of Asia and the world, will be robbed of her divine majesty." This tells us the difficulties the Christians at that time they were facing, the problems that are there for them to overcome. Because the people they are against them. They are against them because they believe that Paul has brought another religion. They were against them because they believe even that the source of their income, there will be nothing for them again. And so there are a problem for these people as a new comfort. And so along the line, Paul knew that if care is not taken, there will be trouble for these people in the future. And Paul was trying to do all he could to help these people, to help the Christian at that time. At the time Paul wrote this letter also, there are problems, a kind of false religions, a kind of false doctrine. Those of us who were here during the conference, I mentioned some of the things that were there, some of the false teaching that were there at that time in the city of, for the Colossian church as well. It's the same, or it was the same kind of problem these people were facing. Troubles, people were teaching errors. People were teaching things that are contrary to the word of God. One of those things that they were teaching was the first religion's teachers. They were teaching people that Christian belief can be combined with pagan belief. This was one of their teaching, that you can combine Christianity with whatever you are doing, even as unbeliever. Another teaching is that was taught at that time was that Jesus Christ and the salvation Christian received through him is false. That Jesus Christ himself needs help. That Jesus needs somebody to help him. And they were saying that there's a gap between God and human race. And Jesus is one of the angels that came to bridge that gap. In the same way as we have some angelic beings that are to fill that gap. These are not true. These are wrong doctrine that people were preaching at that time. Also, the first teacher taught the people that although Christ was superior to Christians who follow him, both he and they also needed help from unseen angelic powers if they were to reach perfection. And these are the reasons why Paul wrote this book. And Paul was trying to make it clear to Christians at that time. If we go to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 21 to 22. Ephesians 1, 21 to 22. Ephesians 1, 21 to 22. Ephesians 1, 21 to 22. So he was telling them, he said, "We are far above all rule and authority." He was talking about Jesus. If we read from verse 21, that Jesus was far above and rule, far above and rule and authority. Power and dominion. Let's start from verse 20. Maybe it will make more meaning. From verse 20. He said, which he exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms. Far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every title that can be given, not only in this present age, but also in the one to come. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be the head over everything for the church. So this was the reason why Paul was saying this. He was telling those people that what these people were teaching you are heresies, things that are not found in the Bible, these things that are not correct. Jesus has done everything. He has power over all demonic spirit that we may think about, over all angelic spirit that you may think about, over all beings that you may think about. And Paul was trying to explain to them the reason for them to believe, to know that God has done everything for them as a result of their acceptance of Jesus as their Lord and Savior. And this morning, what I want to just tell us is some of the things that God has done for us as Christians. The things that God has done for us as Christians that we need to understand and begin to walk in them. From the scripture we read in verse 3 of Ephesians 1:3 says, blessed be God, from King James version, blessed be God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. There are two blessings there. The first one says, blessed be God. They are not the same. The first bless and the second bless, they are not the same. I'm not going to go to the Greek and all the theological part of that. But the first bless, this first one, blessed be the God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who had blessed us. The first bless and the second bless, they are not the same. And when we go to NIV put it in a better way, or in a way that we can understand. The first bless means praise. Praise be to God. Praise be to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly places. So the first bless was for God. The second one is for us. It's telling us that God has blessed us with all spiritual, with all blessings that we can think of. Bless us in the heavenly realm with every spiritual blessings. The first thing that God did for us is that he blessed us. God has blessed you. God has blessed me. The Bible tells us in the book of Genesis chapter 12, verse 2 to 3. Genesis chapter 12. When God was calling Abraham, he told Abraham, Genesis chapter 12, verse 2. He says, I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. This is what God said we are. Say, I will bless you. I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. The reason why God is blessing us is not for us just to sit on that blessing. God is blessing us. God has opened the door for us so that he wants to make us great. Not only making us great, he wants us to be a blessing to the world. In this Christmas period, God wants us to be a blessing to the world. He wants us to be a blessing to the people around us. And he has blessed us with everything that we need. The fact that you don't use it does not mean that you don't have it. And we need to begin to use those things that God has given to us. He said he has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. We've got everything that we can think of. God has blessed us with everything that we can think of. It's not that he just did it. It's not that he's just doing it today. He has done it. And we are going to see that in the scripture. The second thing is that God has chosen us. He has chosen us. Verse 4. If we go to verse 4, it says, Ephesians 1:4.
The Bible tells us, for he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. So before the foundation of the world, before you were created, God has decided to choose you. God has decided to choose you. He has decided to choose me. The Bible says, in the book of, that will be in the book of 1 Peter 2:9. It's a popular song we normally sing. But before we go into that, John chapter 15, verse 16. John 15:16. The Bible made it clear. Jesus was telling his disciples. He said, you did not choose me, but I choose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit. Fruit that will last. So God has choose you even before the foundation of the world. And in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9 is a popular verse or popular memory verse that we all know. And I like that song we normally sing. He said, but you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belong to God, that you may declare the praise of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people that belong to God. What great opportunity we have as people that belong to God, as people that can approach the throne of grace at all time. We like that song. My voice is not good. I am a chosen generation. Huh? Can you sing it for us?
I am a chosen generation, called for to show his excellence. All I require for life, God has given me. I know who I am. I know who God says I am. What he says I am. Where he says I'm at. I know who I am. I know who God says I am. What he says I am. Where he says I'm at. I know who I am.
Do we know who? Okay.
I live a life of favor. I know who I am. I'm walking in power. I'm walking in miracles. I live a life of favor. And I know who I am. Take a look, me, I'm a wonder. Doesn't matter what you see now. Can you see his glory? Cause I know who I am. Take a look, me, I'm a wonder. Doesn't matter what you see now. Can you see his glory? I know who I am.
The question is, do we know whom we are? Do we know whom we are in Christ Jesus? The Bible says we are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a people that belong to God. What a privilege to be a Christian. We go to the book of from the book of Ephesians, number 3. He predestined us. Verse 5 says that. Verse 5 of 1 Timothy. He predestined us to be adopted as his son through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and his will. And in verse 11, the same thing was repeated. Verse 11 says, in him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will. Jeremiah 1:5 tells us that before we were born in our mother's womb, God knew us. God knew us. Said, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations. This is what God said we are. This is what God said we are. This is what God said what it belonged to us. That God himself has appointed us even before the foundation of the world. Another thing that Jesus did for us is that he adopted us. He adopted us and accepted us as his own sons. He adopted and accepted us as his own son. In verse 5 to 6 of Ephesians, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 5 to 6. Ephesians 1:5-6. He says, he predestined us to be adopted as his son through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and his will. Verse 6. To the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. And the Bible tells us in the book of 1 John chapter 3, verses 1 to 2. 1 John chapter 3, verses 1 to 2. It says, how great is the love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. That is what we are. We are children of God. We are the people that belong to God. Said, and that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know him. They are friends. Now we are the children of God. And what we will be has not yet been made known. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is. We are children of God. We are the people of God. God has called us. John 1:12. Gospel according to John chapter 1 verse 12. The Bible tells us there, because you may be saying, maybe this was written to those people at that time. No, it's written for every one of us. He said, yet to all who receive him, to those who believe in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. To them that believe, to them that have accepted Jesus as their Lord and Savior, he gave you the power to become child or children of God. You and I, we are children of God. Don't let enemy deceive you. You may make mistake. You may do something that is wrong. But come to God. Ask for forgiveness. He's going to take you. No father will ever disown his own child. God will never disown you. No matter your situation, no matter what you are passing through, God is there. He's a loving father. Say, beloved, what a manner of love that the Father has lavished on us. I don't know the English I can use for lavish. He has bestowed on us. Somebody just lavish you with his love. Just giving you excess of his love. That is what God has done for us. He has done it. He has done it before the foundation of the heart. He gave us Jesus Christ. That's number 5. He gave us Jesus Christ. John 3:16 tells us that. Said, for God so loved the world that he gave it his only begotten son, that whosoever will believe in him will not perish, but we have everlasting life. And Romans 8:32 tells us that if God will not spare his own son, if he will not spare Jesus Christ, he said, how much more? He who did not spare his own son, but give him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? That is the kind of love that we have as a child of God that we receive from God. And God, that's why I said I like the song the choir sang this morning. I'm going to end on this note. The last point I'm going to mention here. I have about 10, but I'm going to stop on this sixth one. He said, he redeemed us through the blood of Jesus Christ. He redeemed us through the blood of Jesus Christ. And that's why I said the song that the choir sang this morning really ministered to me. Because without the blood of Jesus, we will not be able to enter into the throne of grace. Galatians 4:4-7. But when the time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive the full right of sons. Go ahead. Because you are sons, God sent the spirit of the son into our heart. Because we are sons, because we are daughter, because we are children of God, God sent his spirit into our heart. The spirit who calls out, Abba, father. Verse 7. So you are no longer a slave, but a son. And since you are a son, God has made you also an heir with God. So we share the same benefit that Jesus had before he left the throne of God. These are the things that God has done for us. And as we end this year, I want you to begin to think about what God has done for you. Forget about the things that you can do for yourself. Forget about any other thing. God has done everything on the cross of Calvary. He paid everything. He paid everything. He has done the transaction on your behalf. He gave us everything. And he gave us the Holy Spirit. He sealed it. And we are God's children. God has put a seal to mark on us, as a mark on us. He signed it personally himself and completed the transaction. We have nothing to pay for our salvation because the blood of Jesus has paid everything for our sins. The blood of Jesus has paid everything for our sins. For your sins, you cannot do anything. People will say, if you want this, bring money. Money will not save you. Nothing will save you. They said the reason why you are still having that trouble is because you have not given seed. There are times for seed. I'm not disputing that. But Jesus has paid everything for us on the cross of Calvary. Anything that you can think in life, God has made it available. God wants us to enjoy all that he has made available for us. He wants us to enjoy our life in fullness and in abundance. John 10:10 tells us that devil come not to steal, but to kill, to destroy, but Jesus came that we may have life and that we may have it in abundance. John, thank you. God bless you. He said, thieves come only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it in full. God wants to give us life in full, and he has done that for us. It is left for us to tap into it. We must not live in ignorance of what God has done for us. Hosea chapter 4, verse 6. Hosea chapter 4, verse 6, the first part tells us, he said, my people perish for what? For lack of knowledge. Lack of knowledge of what God has done for us, we perish because we don't have an understanding of what God has done for us. As we rise on our feet this morning, I just want you to just go before God again and say, Father, thank you for all you have done for me. Don't ask for anything. Just thank him. Let's just rise up on our feet as we thank God for what he has done for us on the cross of Calvary. You don't need to fear anybody. You don't need to fear any witches and wizard. They can do you nothing because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Christ Jesus is in you. He has given you everything. You have everything that you can think of. The Bible says he blessed us. He has chosen us. He has redeemed us. He has given us everything that pertains to godliness in this world. Just go before him and say, Father, thank you for all you have done for me. Thank you for your death on the cross of Calvary. Thank you for the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for the Holy Spirit. Confess to God that, yes, I am indeed your child. Don't let the enemy tell you that you are not a child because you have done something that is wrong. Yes, if you have done something that is wrong, you need to go back to God and say, God, forgive me. But you must be bold to do that. And you can only be bold if you still recognize that you are a child of God. Go before God and say, Father, thank you because I'm your child. I am your child. I am your son. I am your daughter. Thank you because you have redeemed me. Thank you because I know who I am in you. Thank you because you are my father. Thank you because you are my God. Thank you because you are my king. Thank you because you are my savior. Thank you because I am yours. Just thank God. Just thank him. Just bless him. Just worship him this morning. And thank him. Thank him. Say, Father, I thank you. I thank you because I'm your child. I thank you because devil will not betray me up and down. Because I know who I am in Christ Jesus. And I will begin to tap into your blessings. I will begin to tap into your blessings, even as I move into year 2020. Father, thank you. God, we bless you. We give you praises. Glory be to your name.
In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Before we just round up, Prophet, there is anyone here this morning that you thought that, or maybe you are feeling that Jesus, or that you are not loved because of your challenges, because of things that you think you have done, and you need assurance this morning, and you want us to pray with you. While every eyes is closed, could you just please raise up your hand to God as we pray together? You want us to pray with you. You felt that that love is not there. You felt that you have missed it. And you just need somebody to support you, somebody to pray with you. Father, we want to thank you. Thank you for all you have done for us on the cross of Calvary. Thank you for Jesus who paid everything for us. Thank you for the complete work on the cross of Calvary. We are grateful, Lord. Father, as we go this afternoon, we are going with this understanding that you loved us, that you redeem us, that we belong to you, that we are secured in you, that our life is hidden in Christ Jesus, that the powers of the enemy will not prevail over us because you have given us the power. As we go this week, Father, we will exercise this authority in the mighty name of Jesus. Demons will tremble before us. Powers of darkness will come down before us in the mighty name of Jesus. As we go this week, O Lord, we pray that there shall be manifestation of your power through us in Jesus' name. Through us, mighty things you will do in the name of Jesus. Father, we say thank you. Thank you, because we know who we are in you. Thank you because we are your children. Thank you, Lord. Glory be to your name. As your children, as we go this afternoon, Father, I pray that you will go with us in Jesus' name. You will watch over us. No evil will befall us. No disaster will come to our dwelling places in Jesus' name. Our house is covered by the blood of Jesus. Father, this environment is covered by the blood of Jesus. There shall be no fire disaster in the mighty name of Jesus. There shall be no accident in the name of Jesus. We are covered by your blood in the mighty name of Jesus. Father, we say thank you. In Jesus' wonderful name, we have prayed. In Jesus' wonderful name, we have prayed. Shall we share the grace? May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us now and forevermore. Amen. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our lives, and we shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever and ever. Amen.